Kim.
Don't try
Laird.
To break his neck anymore, okay? You break my whole spirit.
Hockey.
Polly.
Hockey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Is that Kevin and Brandy I hear?
Yes, it is.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Who else is on so far? Anyone?
Holly? Jeff Dye's here.
Holly?
Marilyn and Mike Sullivan.
Richard's here.
Hello, Richard. Marilyn.
Hey.
Marilyn.
We were
Marilyn.
All waiting for you.
I'm sorry. I was on the phone with a parent.
Philip DiPaolo.
Hello, Philip.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Tom.
Hey, guys.
Tom.
Is
hey.
That your munchkin, Anthony, that we hear in the background?
Laughing? Yes, that's him.
Yeah. Awesome. I like starting them young.
Yeah. Yeah. He's laughing because he just broke 30 to 40% of all the balls on the Christmas tree.
Well, that's a good thing to laugh about.
Yeah.
Not if
he
bad,
had fun.
But
he had fun, so I allowed it to happen.
Oh, okay. Is Ken Ferris here yet? Or Kevin Macbeth? Tom Wall.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Tom's here. Yeah.
Hey.
Okay. Did Martin check in yet? I haven't heard from him.
No.
So we're waiting for Kevin and Ken.
Hold on.
Kevin Macbeth.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Hey.
So, is IJA email working today?
No.
Well, I just got your updated budgets with the proposed membership increase and
okay.
Without.
I posted this at the forum as well.
Okay. I just got that like 5 minutes ago because it was the first. It's very slow today for some reason.
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, I was having trouble mailing from it today, this afternoon actually.
Bob Newman said he also had trouble. He was trying to email reasonings behind the different award nominees' recommendations, and it kept bouncing back to him.
Huh.
He did finally send it to me, and I did send it out, but I don't know if it got to anyone.
So. Yeah, I just got off work now, so I haven't had a chance to see anything today.
Okay. All right, so while we're just meeting or missing Ken Ferris, is that correct? Everyone else? Holly, you're here, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't say hello to you. Hi.
Hi.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead then if no one has any objections and call the meeting to order. I have 8:04 Eastern Time as my time. Roll call. Kim Laird, present. Anthony Shave.
Here.
Kevin Axtell.
Here.
Ken Ferris. He is absent. Richard Kennison.
Here.
Kevin Macbeth.
Here.
Tom Wall.
Here.
Holly Greeley.
Here.
Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Marilyn Sullivan.
Here.
Martin Frost, Communications Director, is not here. Brandy Slater, Recording Secretary.
Here.
Okay. We need a motion to approve the agenda for this evening. Someone want to make that motion?
Move to approve the agenda for this evening.
Okay, and we need a second, please.
I'll second it. Tom.
Okay. Is there anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes? Any abstentions? All right, the minutes or the agenda for this evening is approved. We need approval of the minutes from the November 18th meeting. Someone to make that motion, please.
I'll move the minutes.
Okay, we need a second.
I'll second, Kevin Macbeth.
Okay. Are there any changes or corrections that anyone saw that needed to be made on the November 18th minutes?
Nope.
If not, is there anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes from November 18th? Any abstentions? It passes. Okay, 2010 Fest Report. So,
hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome to the club.
Yay.
Okay, so you have to bear with me. I'm just getting into my car for a gig here, so I have all my notes, though. So, great. So where should we start? Why don't we start at the top of my little agenda that I gave you, right?
That's fine. Wherever you want to start is fine by us.
Okay, great. So we'll just hi there, all you guys, because I probably don't know all of you. Thanks for trusting me for taking this on for you guys. So let's just go ahead down the item list there and just remind me, because I'm still trying to find my notes here. What is item number one on my list?
Site visit.
Site visit. Okay, great. So March, you guys don't know already, I am heading out on Friday morning, nice little red-eye flight to Reno, Nevada. I'm going to be spending 5 days out there just to meet with the various different people because they weren't able to all meet on the same day. And I wanted to get out there before, of course, the new year started. So I'll be heading out, like I said, on Friday and meeting with some people on Saturday. And the main people I'll be meeting with on, I think, a Monday morning and Tuesday as well. The convention person and the caterer and all those kind of fancy people. By the way, for the actual visit, though, I have made a bunch of contacts with various local groups out there. Mike Sullivan definitely had some suggestions for people, such as the Visitors Bureau, who does remember us, because it's the same bureau, from last time when we were there in 2003 for Reno. And they're definitely willing to help out and to do everything they kind of did last time for us, if not more, as well as make contacts with other kind of some local clubs that are there over the summertime, like summer camps, things like that. I have some contacts with people like that that I will be talking to as well, just trying to find out ways to involve some of the youth organizations that are out there. But anyway, I think this stuff is all pretty much self-explanatory for a site visit. For a site visit. And so that's basically what I'm doing. I'm coming back again on the, I guess it's like Wednesday, the 23rd. So that'll be my favorite visit while I'm out there. And I think I'm going to be giving someone an update for the newsletter while I'm out there as well. Any questions or comments or concerns that I might want to bring up or any pressing needs on the actual site visit itself?
Yeah, Bill, this is Kevin. One thing that I know a concern that was raised was the theater and as to whether or not there was one and or making sure that there was going to be a theater or an area for a theater. Do you have any preset ideas or not?
I do. So there are two performance spaces inside the hotel itself. I actually have tickets. So if you got any tickets for one of the shows that's going to be happening there one night, so I can actually check it out and see how all the tech is working, how it looks in the actual production. So that's for one of the spaces. And go ahead.
Keep going.
Okay. And there's also an outdoor amphitheater. That's available as well. It's outdoor in the fact that it's open air, but I think it has covering over top of it. But for summertime, I'm sure, probably even right now, I'm sure its temperature will be just fine. So that's a third option. Clearly not for the main shows, but certainly for some other possibilities, having an outdoor nice little theater there. And my understanding is, from what I've spoken to, is this is all also included in that provisions that we fill that room block as well, which is nice. So it seems like cedar rental or cedar use is just part of the actual package. You know, again, assuming those room nights are booked up. Any other questions?
Does that include tech on those areas as well?
Right, so I can only imagine how tech and things like that, just like any other type of AV and stuff like that, is an additional cost. I think these are all just for the actual space and the use of the spaces, but I'm sure in-house techs are going to be different. But I am meeting with the production, the technical manager, the production manager, while I'm not there as well. He wasn't originally going to be available, but I told him that, we're coming in, we're paying you guys a lot of money, and you better make him available, so he showed up. So I'll meet with him on one of the days while I'm out there as well, so we can talk about all those kind of pricing and things like that, because I think it's subcontracted thing from the hotel. At least that's the gist I got. Now, my understanding, too, is in reference to site visits, and again, and I know there's kind of been a bumpy start in reference to communication, but I was under the impression originally that no one had actually done a site visit, that's what I thought, but then I got a nice little email from Barry, who informed me that he spent a lot of time out there and sent me his little slideshow presentation. So I'm not sure how many of you actually have seen that or are familiar with the space a bit, but I'll certainly be taking a bunch more photos and videos and stuff like that while I'm out there as well and getting some more detailed information now that it's actually our space. So, and any other specific questions about that?
Could you, while you're there, just check into any nearby camping sites that might be a draw for some younger Western folk?
Yep, and I have that in my I have a list of actually about three different, one of the KOA sites. I can't remember the other two offhand, but I do have.
If there is a close camping site, and maybe even if you have the chance, stop by and see if there's a possible discount.
Oh yeah, definitely check out the discount rates as well for that. I know the KOA I actually spoke to over the phone. Their rates were pretty pathetic. Whatever they were already, it wasn't that expensive to start with for like regular old tent camping, but a camper trailer, hookup for like that kind of electrical hookup stuff. That was a different rate, which I don't have offhand. But I did talk to them about working out a discounted rate for us after I kind of checked out some of the spots, and they said it's sort of going to be based on how many we can kind of not guarantee, but well, I guess guarantee to them for people that might be traveling in. So I'll have to kind of work on those numbers and how many people are actually travel or bring their campers or that kind of stuff into the town.
Cool. I have a question. Someone suggested that there was a railroad switching yard on one side, right adjacent to the hotel or something like that.
Sorry, is that again? You were asking what again?
Well, I mean, I'd like to find out if that's true. Is kind of half the rooms in the hotel going to be really noisy?
Right. So, like, when I looked at the Google Maps, the overhead shot, there is a giant train yard that appears to be there. So I certainly will find that out as well. It's a good question to ask. I know we are all booked up in the old tower with some comps and stuff in the newer tower. So that is a good question to ask as to where the actual noise is or how active that really is back there. So I'll make that note of that to find out. Or just listen. Maybe I'll book my room. I have a room, of course, they booked for me. I'm sure it's in the old tower. I'm a light.
I mean, you have a comp? Did they comp you for this visit, I assume?
Yeah, they comp me for the room, and there was some debacle on the airfare thing. They were working on comping airfare, but that kind of whatever happened to that. So they're definitely comping the room.
If they're comping on the room, they're probably giving you a good room, namely a quiet room. So.
Yeah, no, I know. That was just sort of a joke, is that they're going to make a crappy room for free. I realized that they probably put me up in a nicer room, so that I think that the rooms are nice. But I'll definitely, told her that I would like to visit all the rooms that we're going to be using, including the ones that are comps, the presidential suite, all that stuff. And they're also a nice little pickup at the airport.
If some rooms are going to be noisy, some people might want to pay more and get quieter rooms. I mean, that's what I'd like to know, if there are options.
Right. I think in the contract that we signed, and I don't have that document in front of me either, because like I said, I'm just kind of leaving from a gig here. But there's a caveat in that contract about the cost upgrade to the West Tower or the East Tower, or vice versa, whichever one is the newer one. There was a certain amount to pay for an upcharge to the newer room. But I imagine that's going to, you know, our room block is based on the older tower, so I can only imagine the upgrades are going to be based on availability. We were not going to book the more expensive rooms as part of our room block. Much
sure.
More of a risk, I suppose. I remember there is a option to upgrade to the newer rooms if they choose to do so. But hopefully the newer rooms are all closer to that train switching tracks, and everyone will stay in the cheap rooms. So, but either way, they would count toward their room block, and she mentioned that as well. It's about the site visit part.
That all sounds great. I just hope you have a really safe journey there and back.
Oh, thank you. Yes, hopefully Southwest will take care of me. So it's a direct flight there, right? I know they lay over quickly in Vegas. Okay, the next thing on the list there, Kim, is?
The brochure. Sorry.
Okay. So moving on, if there are no other questions. So for the festival brochure, so let me give you some background information. So obviously you guys sort of know who I am from the little information sheet I filled out for you all when you made your decision. I do a lot of work with a lot of other entertainers and just people in different kinds of businesses and stuff. So I'm actually working with another partner who is also an entertainer, but he's more into the mass communication side of things and does a lot of work in the promo marketing area. So he's sort of been my guru, is going to be my guru when it comes to this whole promotional and marketing thing. One of the biggest things that I see with this festival is the fact that we are getting, typically, which we would pay for in the past, we are getting all of our facilities comped for. And when I perused through all the budgets for the past years that Mike Sullivan provided me in this big package, which was awesome, it seemed like we've spent anywhere from 30 to 40 grand at various locations on the facilities, meaning the theater space, the rooms, the breakout rooms, and all that stuff. Well, of course, that's free this year. And when I say free, of course, I mean we're not paying for it, assuming we fill the room block. So in my mind, that translates to we need to spend, and this may not, of course, be the right number, but we need to spend, you could say it almost equivalently, $30,000 to $40,000 on assuring that we fill that room block. Now, I think it's going to take a lot less than that, so there's a savings there. But we certainly can't look at this as money in the pocket. We need to spend money to fill those room blocks, or otherwise we're going to be spending money on that facility. And we don't want to do that because I'm sure that the actual cost of the facilities will go far more than what it is. So with that being said, I'm definitely looking to save money in some spots and put out money in other spots that maybe we typically haven't put money out in the past because we weren't necessarily, I'm not sure. But so when it comes to the brochure, I know some of them had already asked me about, I think it was Martin who did the brochure. I had told him a little bit, maybe just dismay, was that we were sort of out of the idea of the brochure. Now, I told him that when I talked to him originally that we were about 90% sure. Well, we're about 100% sure now at this point that we are not going to do a brochure this year. The reasons behind that, because I'm sure you're all sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm not going to do a brochure. We do this every year. When it comes down to it, the more and more we're getting, relying on technology, the more and more people spend all their time on Facebook, Twitter, and doing all that stuff, the more and more people don't care about something coming in the mail to them if they're not just going to throw it away anyway. The goal, of course, is to provide this in a format that it's available completely online for them to go to. Then when I say that, I mean, all the information is going to be available online, obviously way more than you can put into a, 5-10 page brochure. It's going to be a lot more interactive and a little more glamour that's available than you can just put in, in the printed form. So, like I said, 100% sure that we're not doing a brochure. With that being said, we're definitely going to be doing mailers, but probably in reference to just simple postcards. Certainly a lot less expensive in reference to production and the cost of actually sending out postcards themselves. And obviously the whole goal of the postcard is simply to redirect people to the site that has information for them to find out about the festival and all the other stuff that's going on with that information. So when it comes to the brochure, like I said, it's probably not going to be happening this year. It's a traditional brochure that has gone out in the past. So I'm happy to field the questions that I'm going to arise.
This is Kevin. I support that. I think that's a good idea. I think that particularly for juggling festivals, the postcards you mentioned, some color postcards like a lot of events have, that are done well could certainly do a lot. But I support not having the traditional brochure this year and focusing more on digital.
Right, and then you made a great point, and that is that most of the festivals send out one pages or send out a postcard themselves, so people are sort of used to the idea of getting a postcard as part of a reminder that their local festival is coming up. So it's not something that's going to be you know unusual to them or foreign to them. A postcard is certainly something that they would have seen before in reference to festivals as well. And if we, you know, I have some great graphic design artists, and if we make these awesome postcards, there's going to be cool things that you're just going to want to post up on your refrigerator anyway, or you're going to want to hand out your local juggling club to people, and, you know, it's going to be fun stuff just to look at anyhow.
Excellent.
Yeah, I support it as
well. Any other questions about it?
Just one.
Sure.
Since it's going to be online, I'm assuming there would be the online registration, correct?
Yeah, of course. There's definitely online registration for sure. And I know
so
one.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One question that, of course, everyone poses. You know, someone who doesn't have access to a computer, which what I do, and you guys read my little background information. I mean, obviously, I'm almost defending a dissertation now in IT, so I'm well into the IT world, and I'm certainly well aware of the numbers. And the idea that someone actually doesn't have access to a computer is doesn't happen. Right? That concept was there a few years ago, but when I say access to a computer, people even retirement homes, go as far as you want in the extreme you want. Everyone has access to a room, even in the ICUs or the hospitals around here. You can get to the computer room that everyone has access to. I mean, so access to a computer is virtually eliminated. The concern about, well, how is someone who can't get to a computer? I'm almost saying, like, if there's five people who can't get to a computer, it's okay to save the money on a brochure and risk losing those five people. Or if you know those five people, I'll be happy to give them a phone call myself and take their registration over the phone. But Mike Sullivan had mentioned, to me that the Jugheads, for example, they do a huge group registration. Obviously, we would still do that. Make that contact and handle them, which seems to be the biggest youth group or the only youth group, I think, that we've had in the past that's registered. So, I mean, there are some special circumstances, but I think we are aware of them and we'll certainly handle them.
That was my question.
I just talked to a member this morning, called me very early this morning, and he was concerned about not having received the magazine. And basically he says he doesn't have an email address, so he does not use computers, doesn't have a computer, doesn't have an email address. So there are people out there. I know there are computers available at libraries and such, but people who have never used a computer are, not going to be comfortable using a computer at a library just to register. But,
right, and it's sort of they
can call you, give them your phone number and they can call you and register.
Right. No, and like I said, that's why we're sending out a postcard. So we definitely make sure that anyone who would normally be able to get a magazine, obviously if we don't have an email address for them and we don't have a mailing address for them, well, there's no way we're going to reach them anyway. So our postcards are definitely there to reach people with little blurbs on the back that let them know that it's not to expect a brochure. Certainly with a contact number, certainly the web address. But certainly information that if they can't do it ultimately by computer, there is a way for them to get in touch by phone as well. So that's
and they can also register on site.
Well, they can certainly register on site. Obviously, they can definitely register on site for sure, Mike. But it's almost like...
Give them a good discount, though.
Yeah.
Well, Martin, I would say I would say they can't have everything. I mean, we're a small, all-volunteer organization trying to run this thing on a shoestring, and we have to be as productive as possible. And asking people to use email, which, as you well know, has been around for 40 years now, as just a condition of being able to do all of this stuff by remote control is not that outrageous, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely not outrageous at all. And I almost want to, you know, it's almost like a, you know, one of the concepts we had for one of the postcards was almost like a challenge, because I know Martin and I had talked before, and he certainly had the concern that there are some people out there that may not be able to do it or don't have an email. It doesn't mean they can't get to a computer. So one of the concepts was, you know, almost a challenge to make someone go register, which means registration process, of course, needs to be the most simplest thing that, you know, passes the litmus test. Any idiot can log on and figure out how to register, even if they've never seen a computer in their entire life. So we want to make sure that the process, you know, definitely allows for that to happen.
And obviously, the people that don't have any of this available to them are the rare exception, and I don't think we should spend a lot of time devising the IJA to run in order to cater to the rare exception. Instead, design it so that it's easy to handle the vast majority of cases, which are going to be web and email registrations, and that makes a lot of sense for our volunteers.
I think our numbers showed that as well. Again, Michael's keeping excellent records. When I looked at the registration and how they came in, we received a total of 40-something mail-in registrations, and 23 of them were Jugheads. So that tells us my numbers are really low, and another year has gone by where technology is even more impending. So I think we're looking at really a low possibility of people going, oh, my God, I just couldn't make it to the festival because I couldn't figure out how to register.
Right.
Hey, Phil?
Yes, sir.
This is Kevin McBeth. When do you want registration added to the store?
So I am looking to open registration January 1st.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's the, I'm not sure, what's the next, we'll make it that in a second. What's the next bullet item on the list there, Kim?
Marketing and promotional ideas.
Okay, great. So let's jump in there. This is probably going to be the biggest topic that I cover. And before I continue on, let me just make sure, did anyone have any other questions about the brochure or the lack of brochure? Okay, so marketing and promotional ideas. Like I said, in my mind, the biggest thing we need to do is spend money to make sure people are going to show up at our festival, and more importantly, are going to book rooms at the hotel we've decided that we're going to have this thing at. So let me just start by saying that I think that, again, that deserves the most attention, and I think that drives all the other things. I mean, when I say marketing promotion, having a big name in the cascade of stars is part of marketing and promotion. So I think this has been the focus of my efforts for the most part, and my friend as well who's helped me out, who is not really important who he is. This is definitely the main drive of my festival here, if you will, or our festival, I should say, just to make sure people attend. Obviously, we know that the numbers are declining, and, you know, when I talk to people and I ask people, you know, what makes you want to show up at a festival, well, it's who's who. Who's going to be there? Who am I going to be able to socialize with? Who am I going to be able to network with? Who am I going to be able to hang out with? It doesn't have to be a famous person that's in the show. It could be just someone who's hanging out that they know, a big name. They just get to schmooze with this person for a little bit in the gym, you know, whatever it might be. So our biggest focus has been, again, you know, who's who, which brings us to our sort of some of our concepts that we're drawing up right now. And some of the few ideas that I'm throwing out for you guys here is we definitely want this to be like the party to be at. Like, that's the idea. It's like, you know, if you're going to attend the party this year, you want to come to the festival at the IGA 2010 because A, B, C, D, E, F, G through double Z is going to be there hanging out. They're going to be in attendance. They're going to be able to drink a beer with you in the background. You know, you're not going to be this person who's on the stage and has a fourth wall you can't touch, and this person is going to be here. They're going to be hanging out. And that's definitely one of the big thoughts that we're trying to push is, like, this is who's who and our A-list of people that are going to be hanging out there and who are going to be willing to hang out with you. And they're not going to be spending time hanging out with the other A-listers. They're hanging out with the regular people who don't get an opportunity to see these people. And that's definitely one of our pushes. Again, I know we have a lot of contacts. You know, I have a lot of contacts, you know, in my world. And, you know, obviously Keith Nelson, you know, Keith Endlestead is working on the Cascade of Stars. And certainly he's been in the performing community for a long time. And, you know, just between all my contacts and stuff like that, you know, we've definitely already contacted and gotten some confirmations from a lot of people in reference to, like, kind of the A-list of people that are going to be there. which is certainly helpful. And I'll name a few of those people in a moment. So that, again, that's one of the concepts of just like, you know, the party to be at this year, and that's one of the big things. The next big thing that we're looking to do, in reference to kind of draw promo marketing kind of thing, is we want to have an opportunity for, you know, obviously a lot of people come to this thing, they're just regular hobbyists, but a lot of people come to this thing who are performers or are starting to perform, who want to perform. So one of the things we want to do, especially with this cool outdoor theater that's available, is sort of have some type of professional contest. You know, the people who actually have a show to put on to show us, and the prizes for these things that we've already lined up are going to be things that a professional or someone who wants to be professional is going to want. Things like a professional video shoot, a photo shoot. I've got, you know, I work on Carnival Cruise Lines, and I got, you know, my contact at Carnival Virginia has said, hey, if you got some guy who three of your best judges tell me that this guy is awesome, I'll give him a chance to go on the ship for 1 week. You know, they're going to do a ship show. I mean, if you tell someone, show up at IJA in 2010, show me your best act. If you get chosen, we're putting you on Carnival Cruise Lines for a gig for a week. I mean, you got people who are just going to pay money to come and show up, pay the festival package. Maybe there's a registration fee for the contest. I don't know. Maybe not. And they're going to want to do this because they're going to have an opportunity to get on a cruise ship that they never thought they could even do before. You know, or spots on the Tonight Show. You know, Michael Rossman and I have been friends for the longest time, and, you know, we live 3 minutes away from each other. And, you know, so I have a Letterman contact for getting a spot on the Letterman Show, the guy who won the IJA Festival tournament or the contest. You know, so these kind of spots that are intriguing to professionals and something that can help them get a jump start is sort of the idea of this kind of year of the career, and that's sort of one of the, you know, catchphrases we were working with. Yeah, it's not the focus of the festival. It's just something else happening at the festival or another reason to attend the festival. So some type of professional development kind of contest for people that would be attending the festival. And obviously, it's open to anyone who wants to attend. I mean, if you're nobody and you can do something that wins the judges over, then, hey, come on out and do it, and you're the person that gets the spot. So that's another one of our concepts and ideas. I'm going to pause here because I know I'm going to have a huge laundry list and we may have questions and may forget them. So out of those two ideas so far, any questions, concerns, or comments?
I have a comment on special guests, and that is that given that it's in the West Coast just a week before Burning Man, that a high-profile spinner, fire spinner, could draw from an audience of 5,000-6,000 people that are spinners and jugglers, and I could love to talk with you more in the future or email me about some individuals who could really draw a spinning crowd, just even one in the Cascade of Stars and or doing some workshop.
Yeah, and I think we've already contacted someone from the Burning Man thing. Is this Tom that's speaking? I don't know all everyone.
That was Kevin Axtell, that was.
Oh, Kevin, thanks. I'm not sure who it is. But yeah, and in fact, the big unicycling convention is the week before.
Right.
So, and that's like 4 hours away from where this is going to be. So, you know, that's another draw. Is we want to maybe see if we can get someone who's going to be performing there to come and perform for our time, or bring people in, you know, for the front half of our festival, you know, the front mode and things like that. So, yeah, great idea on the festival afterwards, and certainly, you know, trying to get this festival beforehand that's going to be there as well. Any other questions on those two specific concepts before I continue on? Okay. So the next thing here, and this is sort of going to be conflict with something that you guys obviously have on your agenda for tonight, so I'm going to strongly suggest that you don't do it, because if you do it, it's going to greatly affect what we're doing, and I think that would be a bad decision. And that is the YouTube thing. I understand last time you guys had a YouTube contest, and this time, I'm not sure exactly what it was last year. It wasn't as well publicized. It didn't seem like it had that many entrants. But this year we're going for another, you know, YouTube advertisement for the festival. You know, a 30 to 60, and I have the rules that are going to be coming across in the next few days here from my guy. But, you know, again, a YouTube contest video for a 30 to 60 seconds advertisement for the festival. You know, like three award categories, maybe like the best, you know, best cinematography, best produced, you know, the most hit, and maybe like a People's Choice kind of thing, with prizes that are appropriate for this. Again, you know, we got to spend money to bring these people in. So, you know, if I can have a guy who's going to go around and tell 1,000 people in his juggling community to go watch his video, and his video says, you've got to be here at these dates at this time, and here's the web address, and he's telling, you know, 40,000 people to look at the video so he wins, then he deserves getting some money if he signs people up for this, and he has the most hits or whatnot. So, and so it's certainly one of our biggest marketing techniques for bringing people in as well, and advertising the actual material, the advertising and promo. But, of course, it can't work if we have another one going on at the same time for a tutorial on how to juggle. I'm not saying that the tutorial on how to juggle isn't in the IJA's mind. I think that's exactly what the IJA is doing. We promote that kind of stuff. But it certainly would conflict with what we're trying to do, to bring people to a festival. And if we have two going on at the same time, then we're gonna lose interest halfway. You know, it's going to be a split, or people are going to want to do one or the other. And I just think that it wouldn't be a good idea to have two of those contests going on from the same organization. You know, one, you know, after one's finished, to start the other one up is great, but I definitely think the focus should be on the one that's for the festival, because that's our biggest concern. You know, we're in a location that's pretty remote, that has a lot of, a lot of people that I talk to are like, well, why the heck are you going there? I think it's just a concern that, you know, if we're going to do anything that's going to detract from pulling people out to our festival, we should maybe reconsider doing it until a later time. So the idea that you guys have for the tutorial, is nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly great. I think the timing needs to happen after our contest that we're doing for the actual festival. In the same fact that, you know, having a tutorial thing is great, and it has someone putting a tutorial out, and that's wonderful, but it's not bringing money into the IJA. It's certainly promoting juggling, but the festival is what's going to make our budget this year, and what you guys need to pay for things. And, you know, Holly told me, you need to make this much money in order for us to balance out. And if we do something else at the same time that conflicts with that or is going to take away from that, I think that certainly is a poor choice. So that's sort of another idea then, is you know, we're definitely going to do a YouTube video advertisement contest for the festival, and definitely provide, you know, the three prize packages, whatever they might be, for the winners of those things, for those contests and such. So let me stop on that one and then ask you if there's any questions.
I agree with your reasoning there. Tom, are you okay with us maybe pushing off the date of the YouTube tutorial contest?
Yeah, I mean,
that's your baby.
I'd be interested in hearing, like, when we'd push it back to. I didn't know that there was actually going to be another, like, advertisement contest this year. That was the first I've heard of that. So, because I'm a little bit curious about, like, how effective the one last year was.
The one that was done last year, from the people I talked to, like, hardly anyone knew it existed, which is one of the biggest problems. So I think if no one knows about it, they're not really interested in doing it. I also understand that I'm not sure that the prizes, if there were even prizes for it, were that great to even be willing to spend the effort and time to do it. So I think maybe that's where there were some downfalls to start with.
There were no prizes for last year's. It really wasn't a contest.
Right.
It was pretty much submit a video to promote the fest, and Taylor Glenn, who was in college at the time, did the editing and that and put them up on YouTube. I believe you had to be part of the YouTube. You had to sign up as a member of the IJA YouTube site or something.
Right, right. And they probably had a similar requirement to actually post it, but I knew there was no prize. I was just being soft. obviously there was no motivation for people to do it. And
right.
Like you said, he was editing some of these videos and posting them back online. And actually, some of them, I think there was like five or six of them that were actually submitted, or at least that were posted. But this is the goal is to actually have people put their own effort into it, because they're going to win a prize. And they're going to be able to, you know, put their own time and effort in shooting. You know, some are going to be good, some are going to be bad. Somebody have best cinematography, like that's why I said we have three different categories. Someone might do the best job actually taping the video, so maybe the content isn't that good, but he still deserves a good job for getting his boom mic out there and his HD camera and three different camera angles or whatever he's going to do. But maybe another guy is a great comedian and he just wins the people's choice. So we don't want people to think that there's only one chance for them to actually have an opportunity to win. So they're not the funniest person, but maybe the best video editor or something like that. So we definitely wanted to push a contest that provides, definitely something for these people. And obviously, it's not, it's great that they're going to win something, but the whole goal, of course, is that they're going to be telling 40 other people to watch their video, or 500 other people to watch their video, or, you know, they're going to start sharing it around because they love the hits, because they know if they get the most hits, they win. You know, so that's, you know, and hopefully we're, you know, showing their friends at school who don't juggle, they're saying, oh, that's cool, you know, maybe I will, or something like that. So that's clearly the goal behind that. So, yeah, in reference to that, I know, sorry, Tom just, he was asking how far back we're going to push it. Obviously, to have a good advertisement, we need to do it earlier on. So I can't imagine that the cutoff date for the actual contest, well, again, I don't have the rules yet in front of me. It's certainly going to be no later than May, you know, middle of May, maybe announcing the winner, but we're not talking about all the way up until the actual festival. Now, the winners, you know, certainly will be, you know, definitely are going to be, you know, projected and aired during some of the night shows, that kind of thing, the winners of the contest and that kind of thing. But the actual contest should end somewhere around then, which would maybe be a good lead-in to the tutorial thing. And again, having the tutorials, you know, if you, I was looking at your rules and stuff, and I don't remember offhand what the actual time frame was, but if there's if the time frame fits into the actual festival's time frame between, like, May and the actual festival, then we can also, you know, air there, you know, the people who won the tutorials stuff during stuff, you know, depending on how long it is, or at least have a spot for the new viewer or something like that. So that was just another thought on how we could kind of work both of those into it. But like I said, I mean, if we're going to do a YouTube contest to promote the festival, we just can't have a conflicting one that's really not out there to make money for the organization as a whole, but definitely to promote one of the organization's visions, which is to promote juggling. So, any other questions about that specific idea?
Tom, are you all right with tabling your motion for later?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to... I mean, I'm just curious as to when exactly we would wind up pushing it back. But, yeah, I mean, given all the... or given the circumstances, I'd be fine with moving it, yeah.
Well, I do appreciate it. Like, so I think it's going to pay off for us in the end, and the fact that, you know, it definitely just focuses all the attention on the festival that definitely needs all the attention focused on it, for sure.
Sure.
Tom, we could promote that contest at the festival and ride the post-festival enthusiasm to get a good number of tutorials and start the promotion early for next year.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Everyone's definitely going to be motivated. You know, everyone's always excited. That's what they just learned, and that might be a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. And that could probably get some people who are teaching workshops just to film that and put it online, too.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty rad.
Okay, well, then I'll continue to move on then in reference to some more of the marketing things that we're going to do. Now, these things are more like throwaway things in reference to marketing. What we would like to do for when we announce registration on January 1st, we'd like to also announce that, you know, those who sign up in the month of January, and this sort of evolved from the first five people to show up to, like, the people who sign up in the month of January, you know, a drawing will be held, and of all the people who sign up, you know, one or two of them are going to get a free festival package. So it kind of encourages everyone to just get in there, sign up, you know, join, you know, get in and do the festival, so we definitely kind of get an idea of who really is coming, kind of get an idea on budget stuff and sort of affirm that idea down almost as early as possible, and maybe have the same concept lead into February as well, but certainly not any further than that. And originally the idea was, well, we'll announce that, you know, the first five, you know, three people that, you know, show up, or the first five people that register will get a free package or something like that. But someone did remind me that, you know, you hear that stuff, you know, no one calls in and signs up, and you're not going to have people sitting at midnight waiting to register, and that's just, it's true, you're not. So it's like, you know, we want to just have something that says, you know, if you register during this month, you're gonna be entered in the drawing to win a, you know, free whatever festival package.
That's cool.
Yeah, so just something to kind of draw in. And I know Mike Sullivan and I were talking about, you know, deadlines and stuff. And when we get to the pricing bullet, I'll certainly start talking about that. But, you know, Mike is right about the idea of knowing that there's a cutoff at some point in time. You sort of have an opportunity then to go, okay, well, I was gonna make this last minute purchase, but I know I'm not there, so I can't do that. Or, oh, wow, I'm so over budget. I could do this last minute purchase and still be good, you know, or I'm so under budget, you know. So having some idea of an amount of people that have signed up and knowing sort of where you stand is not only comforting, but just it gives you an idea as to what you can do in the future and prevent yourself from going over budget or, maybe get yourself a little more if you're under budget. Just to kind of attract people. So that's sort of where that concept came from. I know I talked about names and stuff. So with the shows, I have Keith Nelson who's doing the Cascade of Stars and another guy doing the Welcome Show maybe along with Keith. This year we sort of want to, there's nothing like having two bookends on the festival. The first bookend is the Welcome Show. The last bookend, of course, is the Cascade of Stars. In the past, the Welcome Show has been, okay. And I think that's a shame. The Welcome Show, you should come into the festival and be like, oh my God, I went to the best show. I'm so excited to start juggling the next day. This is going to be the best festival ever. Oh my God, that show was killer last night. And then you end the festival and you go, oh my God, this is the best festival ever because it was the best show I just saw on Saturday night. Oh my God. So our biggest goal right now is, in the show category, is to have the Welcome Show be just one notch under what the Cascade of Stars is going to be. And to have it just as amazing as the Cascade of Stars, putting just as much effort into it as the Cascade of Stars. But like I said, doing it just a notch below, of course, still Cascade of Stars is the ultimate, that's the climax of the entire festival. But we don't want the Welcome Show to be just a throwaway show. We want it to be something that people are excited to do and excited to come and see. And that's, definitely a push and something we're working on. Like I said, I know names are a big deal for people. And like I said, you can have the best juggler in the world. That is truly awesome and amazing. But if no one knows him, they're not going to come to see him or her or whatever. We definitely want to be able to put up this A-list of not only people who are going to be hanging out at the festival, but people who are going to be in the shows. So some things that we have commitments from already, just names, and maybe you guys know them, and maybe you don't. Hopefully you do know these people, because, then it'll show me that other people know the people. People that are going to be there in the past, of course, in our A-list of just guests, Dan Holton and Barry Freeman, they're going to be there. Scotty Meltzer will be there. Ivan Bissell, as I already said, he'll be there. Jack Calvin, Matt Hall, Mark Neiser, Jason Garfield. These are people that are going to be hanging out just there. And that's great. These are people. These are names that people just want to see and chill out with, and they've made commitments that they're going to be there at least for a couple of days, maybe not the whole time, but they're going to make appearances and just kind of be hanging out and stuff. Now, some of those names may be considering performing as well, but that's something we're also working on. Some other names for actual stuff in the show, like Charlie Fry. I know a lot of people have wanted to see Charlie Fry for a while, I got a contact with him, and I think he'll be coming to perform for us and work with us. I'm not sure if you guys know who Bill Irwin is. Do any of you know Bill Irwin?
Heard the name.
You've heard the name. So Bill Irwin is larger in the clown community, because that's sort of where he got his start. He was he was on Mr. Noodle on Sesame Street for the longest time. That's Bill Irwin.
That's where I know him.
Yeah, so that's where most people know him from. I think he was the father of Cindy Lou Who and Jim Carrey's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. That was Bill Irwin. We had him in last year for our Motion Fest Mini Fest, Laughter Arts Foundation Festival. He came down and taught a workshop for us for a few days. So he definitely became on our contact list, and he said he'd be able to come out and just hang out or maybe even do a little thing in the show for us, which would be great. He's definitely on the A-list. Now, two other contacts that I thought would be cool to just have as celebrities that are going to be hanging out with the idea that they had a start in juggling. I've spoken personally on the phone with both Tom Hanks and Steve Martin, who both think they could come out and do like a day of just hanging out and being invited. We got obviously pick up their airfare and travel, but just hanging out and being there at the festival, not performing or doing any stand-up or anything like that, but just guys who started in juggling who said, yeah, I'd love to come on Jim Floyd and learn a couple new juggling tricks. I mean, this is how I got my start in my career. Let me get back into it. So I think both of those guys are going to be making some guest appearances as well. So I think those are some pretty big draws as of right now. The other thing, which is sort of a sore subject, unfortunately, which was kind of disappointing for me. I don't hardly know most of the people that are on the board here because I'm not a politics person. I'm not saying one thing or another about that. But with that being said, one of my good friends out in Reno, of course, is Mark McGuire. And I'm sure you all are familiar with Mark McGuire because he probably put on the best Cascade of Stars we've ever had. And that's because that's what he does. So, you know, I sent an email to Mark, said, hey, you know, we're going to be in your town. I said, I'd love to work with you and get some ideas. I don't need you to produce or direct at this time. I know you were sort of more in, I just need your clout this time. But he sent me this email back that I'd love to forward to you guys after I talked about it. That was just really sad and disappointing. And again, I'm not into the politics or anything, but I know his email back to me said, yeah, screw the IJA. I have no desire to work with any of those people. They're the most thankless people in the entire world, which was just disappointing to hear. Especially because he's a friend of mine. I'm like, well, now I'm asking him to help us out as, you know, kind of as a representative now for the IJA. You know, I'm going, oh, wow. So he went through a really long email with a lot of stuff, I responded back, and forgive me if I offend anyone, but I just responded back to him. I said, just quit your fucking whining and work with me. And he responded back and said, okay, I'll meet you while you're out here on your site. So I think I might have Mark McGuire back on the line for lining up some of his incredible acts that he has gotten in the past, including Anthony Gatto back out for our thing. Now, Anthony, of course, is signed up with Dirk, but he said that he'd give Anthony a call and maybe get him out to maybe do one of the shows. So another name that I think will certainly draw a lot of jugglers in. It'd be nice to have him back out there. So I definitely want to get him on the board and, you know, again, show him that he doesn't have to get involved in reference to all the grunt work this time. I just sort of want his contacts is basically what I told him. So hopefully he'll, after a little lunch meeting while I'm out there in the next couple of weeks, or next week, I guess, we'll be able to get some more of his certainly A-list performers that are, you know, maybe not to be jugglers, but, you know, he had those acrobats of China that are at the Circus Hotel, and it would certainly be awesome to have them do a bit in the Cascade of Stars. You know, just something to make the show a little bit more, you know, bang. So he's definitely on the list for that now, but like I said, it was just disappointing to kind of hear his stuff, and I'm not going to say anything more than just that. So he's definitely on board, I think, with us for helping out, or at least, you know, giving us some context and clout, if you will. So I think that kind of gives you an idea, you know, what we're doing on promo marketing. Kim, I'm still driving, unfortunately. Do I have a website on my agenda anywhere?
No, you don't.
Okay, so it's probably under PR and marketing. So this year, what I'd like to do, and I understand it has been done in the past, was I sort of have a completely independent website. I understand there was a Flash website done in the past or whatever.
Sorry, Phil, but if you do have website on here, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we're on to it now. it's definitely to have an independent website, something that's going to be the hub for the festival. Obviously, if we're going to, you know, for Gore the Brochure and stuff like that, we need to have a really dedicated spot for these people to come to where they can find out anything they want about the entire festival, where they can, you know, post stuff, where they can connect and link in using all their social networking sites that they use every day. And so for this festival, I mean, we're definitely going to have an independent site that's set up for this. So that's for sure, 100%. And just some ideas for what's already on this website, and it's not live anywhere except for on my own little server. But, you know, we have, of course, mashups with Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And, you know, the goal of our marketing idea is not to tell everyone everything at once, because we want them, you know, you want people checking back every day. You know, people are on Facebook, so it's easy for them to check in on what's currently happening on the IJA Facebook, and for them to check back every day and say, oh, my God, have they posted the next newest, coolest star that's going to be hanging out? You know, if we tell them we have some awesome guy coming out to begin with and actually give a name, and say we have more of these kind of people or better coming out, this is reasons for people to check back in daily as to what's going on with the IJA. You know, so that it's almost like in their mind to check what's going on with the festival as part of their daily routine. You know, a majority of people are using these sites. And if I have a majority of people thinking about it and saying, you know, or making friends with it, or I have some guy who's not even a juggler and happens to click and make IJA a friend on their Facebook, just because it happens to be some of their friends or whatever, then it's just even more out there for people to see and wonder what's going on. So an independent website that has all these different mashups is certainly going to sell this idea. The registration, all that kind of stuff is just going to be available to do, you know, all right there, then and there, you know, you get access to it. You know, things like, you know, I know he said setting up the store, you know, obviously a link to the store for, like, the actual purchase of something or whatnot. Or the link to the juggling, the actual forum, you know, for the juggling chat, you know, that'll be there, of course. But anything that doesn't have an already connection to the IJ, you know, juggle.org website, will be on this site. You know, all the YouTube videos, the content, the updates, the current links to all the videos that are, you know, are going on. You know, anyone who wants to do a workshop, any of our workshop leaders, you know, an opportunity for them to post all the stuff from their workshop online ahead of time. You know, their one sheets, their information package, whatever PDF files they have. You know, so people can go on, they can get all this information, they can have it, they can get it while they're at the website or while they're at the actual, while they're at the festival themselves. You know, the director, the leadership of the workshop doesn't have to say, you know, or have, doesn't have to hand out handouts. They can say, oh, just log on to the site you guys have already been on. You know, all my materials are on there. You can grab them right offline. You can get access to them. You know, just kind of save paperwork and printing things out for people. And it you know, they have access to it ahead of time. So there's just a lot of, you know, different things that are just going to be easily available on this one main hub. And in order to sell the main hub idea, I registered two domains so that on our advertising and on the YouTube videos, someone can just say, you know, go to ijafestival.org or ijafestival.com, and that's it. That's all you need to remember. It's what you're sharing with your friends. You know, you don't have to go to ijafestival/something. You know, it just it's one spot. It's easy to remember. You know, it's just a quick thing. And so, you know, these are the domains that people are going to be thinking at. This is what's going to be in their mind. This is going to be the easy thing for them to remember. And that's the hub, and they can easily get to that information. So that's what we're going for this, you know, for the website stuff. And of course, that'll be live and available, you know, January 1st as well. So we're sort of just kind of cleaning that up right now. And of course, we'll add to it, obviously. I mean, it's not going to have all the content and the people and things like that. So obviously, it's a dynamic site that's going to be constantly updated and available to people. So any questions on that?
Hey, Philip?
Yeah.
I've got two questions.
Yes, sir.
One, will there be an online schedule of events like Matt Hall did with the workshops this year?
Right. So by an online schedule of events, you mean like just kind of saying where things will be and what time things will be happening and like the shows and the workshop schedule. Yeah, that'll all be available. And clearly, if it's online, it'll be easy to change as opposed to like a printed copy that might be, you know, have to be changed 6 or 7 times.
Right. And the second question is, will there be an RSS feed?
Yeah, so yeah, I already had a mashup for RSS, so that's certainly available. I just want to make sure that there's an access for anyone who does any certain, whatever social network site some people use or whatever RSS feeds or news feeds they use, there's an option to do that. So that's already on there as well. But, you know, there's a Twitter mashup, so it's happening in the column, all the latest Twitter stuff. There's a Facebook thing. So that's all available. And if there are any other ideas that we may not have thought of, you know, I'm not telling you everything right now. Just like, I can't think of it all right now. But if there's ideas you have, just certainly email them to me and I'll let you know if I already have it or it's great. I'll put it on there. But the more connected, the better. You know, every big website nowadays, you go onto the website and they got the icons, the Facebook, the MySpace, all that stuff down there. It's there for a reason. Big corporate companies are doing it because it works. We need to do it too because it's easy to do. So there you go. Any other questions about that? Okay.
Thank you. Great. Good to move on.
Okay. What's the next bullet item there, Kim?
Themed event.
Themed. Okay. I think I may have covered that a little bit. When I was talking about themed events, that just goes back to the whole idea of like the party to be at, the year of the career, the A-list kind of thing. But some other thoughts that people had, and some of these things are out there, and this is not exactly what I'm considering per se. But I'm not sure if you guys have, any of you have actually attended EJC, which unfortunately, I don't know why we picked it, but again, I'm not going to harbor in the past, but obviously EJC is happening at the same time, which doesn't make sense. But so that's going to be hard for an International Jugglers Association when EJC is going on at the exact same time. But at EJC, for example, during one of the shows or one of the contests that they have, you know, some guy last year was coming riding down off a white horse and would always, you know, do some sword fight, and that winner would be the actual guy who's going to be doing the actual contest winner or that stuff, which everyone loved. They're all waiting for this white horse to come riding down. That was a big thing. Now, clearly, probably having a white horse riding through the Squiggles Nugget may not be acceptable, but that was an odd idea that, you know, if we have, you know, and these are just smaller things, you know, if every hour we have some guy, that, you know, some different person we paid to run through like a village runner, you know, through the middle of the gym and with a big you know, microphone that's going to be screaming out, you know, whatever thing, you know, just some catch thing, something catchy and trendy that's going to be happening that people are going to be expecting, like, oh my God, it's coming up. It's going to be, you guys will watch this. This has been the weirdest thing all festival. You know, some guy runs around at noon o'clock, you know, some different thing, you know, just something that people are looking forward to, something that they're going to be saying, hey, you guys, you slept through it yesterday, but you need to get here at noon again. This is something crazy that happened. So those kind of, when I say themed events, those kind of ideas, they're just, you know, something different that hasn't happened. You know, the format, you know, it's always been the same for the festival, and you know, it is what it is. It's a festival. You have shows, you have workshops, that, you know, you have open time for people to do stuff. It works, but it doesn't mean we can't do some other fun stuff in that same format. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to exploit, you know, once we get people there, we gotta keep them excited about being there. So they're excited about being there next year. So you don't have to work as hard to get them there. I'm not sure if anyone ever actually read through the surveys available. Mike, I guess he had a survey. It was an Excel spreadsheet. If anyone actually read through the surveys or not, but there's a lot of good comments that, you know, that our jugglers are telling us about. And I'm not sure, again, if any of you guys actually read the surveys or not, but a lot of the things that they've said, it seems like we're doing again, which is, again, a little disappointing. You know, the biggest thing of all, almost every person in the survey was upset with those carpeted floors. And my understanding from the little thing that Barry sent me is that our thing has carpeted floors again. So, you know, we sort of didn't listen to our jugglers who said they didn't want carpeted floors, but nothing we can do about that now. But we're going to take a look at some of the other things they had in the survey that they wanted to have and, you know, fix them. Like, one of the other biggest things is people said there's no vendors. So I've been on the phone and in contact with nearly every vendor we have in the juggling community, both in the U.S. and U.K. and everything like that. And, you know, it's really hard to convince a vendor to come into a juggling festival. They're not going to do that much in sales to begin with. But it certainly looks good for us to have the gym floor – I'm sorry – to have the gym floor lined with a bunch of vendors with colorful props and stuff like that. It looks like something actually is happening, some big – you know, it's full. And that's a great look when you come in there. You feel like you're really part of something. So I've talked to a lot of vendors, and they've had various concerns and things like that. And one of the concerns the vendors have and is that they, you know, they feel like they're, you know, they get gouged for everything they do. You know, you have to buy a table, you got to buy electricity if you need it. Who doesn't need electricity if you have a vending table? You got to buy a package to actually get into the festival to actually be there. You can buy your table and everything, but you can actually walk to your table unless you get a package to get in or a day pass to get in, or your employee has a day pass to get in. And ultimately, everyone in the survey said there's not enough vendors, So if I can tell all my people that there's going to be hundreds of vendors and that draws crowds, I don't see why I'm castrating my vendors from being able to do their thing when they're already spending so much money shipping their props and driving across the country trying to get there when they know that their sales probably aren't going to meet their expenses. And that's what most of them have said to me. And it's disappointing to show up at the annual major juggling festival and not see many vendors there. So this may hurt people's feelings or whatnot, but, you know, I think last year we did like $750 in vendor sales for tables and whatever. So this year, in my mind, unless there's that cost associated with the hotel, you know, vendors are free. In my mind, vendors are 100% free. Now, they can't, you know, that doesn't mean them and seven of their kids are free. It means the vendor, the owner of that store is free. They could, you know, if it costs $10 from the hotel to set up a table, then it costs them $10 to set up a table. If it costs $5 to have an electrical outlet, and I know it's more than that, but then it costs them that. But I'm not charging people extra money to help us attract our people, because they are going out of their way. They're losing money in the process, and they make our festival look better. So it's outrageous to make these people then pay extra. And one of the vendors was telling me a story about how some old woman came in to buy a Diablo, and they wouldn't let her even go to the table of the vendor unless she bought a day pass. And this old woman's not a juggler. She just wants to buy a Diablo. And in my mind, if the woman walked out there going, wow, these people were asked, don't even let me buy a Diablo, well, maybe she would have thought if we let her in, oh, that's so cool, I'm going to bring my daughter back the next day, and she's going to buy a day pass. And in my mind, that's a sale now we have, as opposed to someone leaving with a distaste in their mouth. And it was sort of some of the stories I heard from our vendors, and it was just kind of disappointing to hear that, because these are the guys that make it a part of a festival. I mean, they have vendors at festivals, that's what they're there for. And you know, I just, in my mind, these people need to be there for free. They need to be there you know, when I say free, I mean their vendor stuff. You know, they need to be able to set their tables, they need to be able to sell their products, and they need to make our festival look like it's really booming. And it's not, you know, if this was a $35,000 revenue for us, that's a different question. This isn't. This is piddly money, and I think it makes a big difference on our festival. You know, this is one of those low cost, huge impact squares that we're in that four square thing. And I think it's ridiculous not to to give them a little bit more credit and let them, you know, sort of take over and, you know, get in there and feel like they're welcome. So that's why I got a lot of vendors already signing up saying, oh yeah, okay, we'll be out there. It sounds like it's different. Sounds like it's good to go. It sounds like it's something we might be interested in. You know, and I'm happy to hear that. You know, I want all these vendors there to be able to sell their stuff and, you know, make it look like we really are a festival. When all the surveys said that there weren't enough vendors, that tells me that that's something I need to change. So, any questions about that?
I guess I just have one really quick comment, which is through the vendor discount thing, this advertising promotion thing that I guess we only had the first run of it last month. There is, in the rules of that, a $50 break in any festival cost for a participating vendor. It's not much, but it's what we could budget.
It's a what?
Oh, for vendors who are participating in the vendor discount program, there's a $50 break in any festival-related vending fees for those vendors. Right now, there are only three of them. I'm hoping to expand it to more fringe artists.
Give me a quick idea. What is the vendor discount program? I'm not a vendor, so I don't know what it is.
Okay. It's a thing. It started last month where vendors who participate, they offer a special like discount to an IJA member, like the entire membership for a day. In that, like as a reciprocation from us, they get a $50 break in any festival-related vending fees, like a tabling fee or whatever. And they also get just free digital advertising from us.
Okay.
Just so you know, there's that.
That's certainly a step in the right direction. But like I said, I mean, again, these guys are coming out. They're not making bank on our juggling festival. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly.
You know, it would be great if they were all over and they were making money and they were right in Reno. It would be a different story. And these guys are paying more money in getting there than they are actually selling the product. No.
Sure.
I just want to make sure. I want to make them feel welcome, and I don't want to bring a distaste in their mouths. Because then all they do is now everyone's going to have to buy props from them, and of course all jugglers need props to juggle. Maybe they're going to hear that, or they're going to hear that bickering, and that just doesn't help us out. So that's why I was sort of.
Right on.
Any other questions?
Phil, I think it's a great idea to go with free for vendors, but watch out. When things are free, you might get more demand than you'll be able to fulfill. And it sounds like a good problem to have, but it could be a problem if you run out of physical space to put all the vendors you've got.
Yeah, so that is a great point. So one of the things that I've been talking to the vendors about, and again, I mean, how many really juggling vendors are there? But in the people I've been talking to, I said, you know, you guys, you're spread around, you're on the perimeter of the gym. I said, that's where you are. I said, now, if, you know, everyone's going to get this. If you want more than this, if you're a vendor and you get, you know, everyone should get a table, let's just say, I'm not sure if that's correct, but, you know, if you're a bigger vendor and you want three tables, well, then maybe you're getting a little bit more, you're taking up more space, then maybe you need to start paying for that extra little
bit. That's the way to do it. And the hotel will tell you how much they're going to charge for tables and electric, and if you just cover your cost, then you'll be fine.
Right, that's what I told him. I said, if there's a cost for that stuff, I said, you know, the hotel says that they're definitely going to do some setup for us in reference to chairs and tables for breakout rooms and even the actual gym space. So if it's available and free, then it's free to you guys. But if it costs $50 a table, it's $50 to you. You know, we're not going to eat any cost ourselves. That's just stupid.
Kim Laird.
That's the way to do it. Very, very well thought out.
Welcome back, Kim.
Sorry about that. My phone died.
I just plugged mine in. So yeah, no. So yeah, right. So good point, and I want to make sure that everyone has the equal opportunity first, and that if it does get overwhelming, people are aware that it's sort of a first come first serve kind of thing, which should give more reason to sign up right away. And so I can commit and say here's the list of vendors that are going to be there. You know, it's more than a column long, or whatever. You know, so that'd be, and that's definitely a good point. Any other questions about that? Okay, great. Now that Kim's back online, what's our next bullet point, Kim?
Timeline.
Timeline, great. So let's talk about timeline. And that's obviously the first timeline I gave you already was that January 1st, I'm going to open registration. So clearly that's, you know, about 15 days from now. So that's the goal. I'm not sure what kind of email list we have. I'm sure it's pretty good right now, and I understand that some people have, you know, don't have email. But I definitely want to put out a teaser email about 7 days before January 1st. It's just a short kind of almost a one or two line that leaves people wanting to know more about the registration opening. So that's going to be our kind of first, you know, throw out there. And obviously people who don't have email won't get that, and they won't register right away. And I'm aware of that, and that's just how it is. So that's certainly the first timeline is January 1st. And the second timeline, I kind of mentioned before, was sort of on the contest kind of side of things, and that, you know, by January 31st is going to be a drawing for people to get, one person from everyone who signs up is going to get this thing, whatever it might be. And that's going to attract them there. And I keep saying whatever it might be. And mostly these are festival packages, and because that's really I almost want to say it's an easy giveaway. I think what it actually costs us versus, you know, what it means to people. I mean, that's why they come. That's the package. So it's not a huge cost, but it's a big return for people. So that's why you come out. The major deadline that I can think of as of right now is probably I think it's March 31st for the ending of early registration, I'm pretty sure it's March 31st is right now. It may actually be earlier than March 31st. It may be March 1st. But somewhere in March, registration is going to end. And in my mind, and Mike and I have talked about this as well, there's in my mind there's early registration, and then there's registration. There's two prices to have. It does a lot of things. It ensures that we have a guaranteed number that knows that there's no middle pricing group to kind of be wishy-washy about. If you want to get early pricing, you pay for early pricing. If you don't want to make your decision up in time, then you're paying for late pricing, period. And it doesn't give you a chance to figure out what you're going to do. And the pricing scheme for these things is probably, and don't hold me to this, because I'm going to tell you some more things to talk about it. But so last year's, I think a few years ago, the festival price was like $149 and $199. And I think last year's festival, it went back up again. You know, it broke the 200s or whatever. I don't care about breaking 200s. What I care about is that the number that we start with, the early number is low and the late number is high. And that, again, motivates more people to want to get in, to give me an idea of what I can and cannot spend by a certain point in time. And I say me personally. I mean, these things are all budgeted and we're not going crazy here, but it just gives you a comfort level, as I think I've already mentioned this, a comfort level to know what you can do and what you can't do. And you sort of, the closer you get to the reaching capacity of people signing up compared to previous numbers, the closer you can kind of make more comfortable decisions and decide where you need to cut, you know, a little fat, or where you actually have lots of money, more money to spend on doing stuff. And so the lower pricing scheme this year, one comes from, again, we have $30,000 to $40,000 that we're not paying in facilities that we need to assure we fill the rooms with. And in my mind, if you were to perfectly split it in half, you could lower pricing by 30% to 40%, if that's usually the biggest part of the budget expense, the facilities. Well, lower pricing by that percentage. Well, that's one extreme. Or you could use that same percentage, keep pricing them where it's been in the past, and use that money to pay for big name stars or whatever. Or you could find some kind of median in that just below a middle, so you save a little money in the long run. You keep some of that money that you're saving by getting free facilities, for making a good contract, so you just pocket that right away, and then use that little bit extra to both lower the price of attendance and pay for some stars. So that's obviously the route we're going, and it looks like right now the early pricing is probably going to be like $169, to start with. And all the numbers are kind of based on around 500, which is, in my mind, a pretty conservative guess for who's going to be attending here. It's certainly, been more than that every time beforehand, but it's just the numbers are going down. All my numbers work out nicely. If everyone signs up at 169, all my numbers are working out well. But that means that higher pricing range is going to break 200. So, if you don't get in the 169 category, you're probably getting in the 229 category. I think it's 209, I can't remember now. But 229 category. And those are the prices. That's it. Early and late. So that's sort of where I'm headed in the direction of pricing. And the timeline is going to be somewhere in March where that's going to break. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought someone was with me. So then after that, there is going to be an online, obviously online registering is going to be there the entire time. And I know Mike had talked to me about, let's cut off registration at a certain point. And I agree with that for the most part, in the fact that, again, you get to do the concept that he had was, then you really do know a solid number and how you deal with that. But I think I've put enough other caveats to get to that solid number that I really don't want to cut off any kind of registration at any point, because, if someone wants to register the last minute, that's one more that we have. And I know you can register on site, but sometimes it's just easier to register online. So I was sort of not going to cut off registration, but I could certainly be swayed to perhaps cut off registration, at least online registration, everything, kind of stop it, and then make, if you want to register and you didn't do it already, we can certainly do it on site. But as of right now, I feel like I just want to let it kind of run its course because of the other kind of stop gaps I have in there that sort of will give me some numbers, like the contest for getting people to sign up all in January, or the really low early price that people say, well, I have to get in this price, so I definitely want to get in now. I think there's enough of those in place that we'll have a good idea of where our money is in reference to revenue, but way before that, a cutoff date would be like in June or something, at the end of June. So that's kind of my timeline. Any question about those?
So this is Marilyn. You'll be using the store for the registration, correct?
If the store is, and again, I apologize for not being familiar with the store 100%, except for just kind of logging in there. I mean, the store is just a PayPal store, right? Or no?
Kevin?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, in my mind, when we say the store, if that's a concept, like it's a nice little part of the juggle.org website, the links that create PayPal, buy links are, can be placed on any website. So, I mean, if we, it's certainly going to be linked to PayPal in my mind, but there's no reason why it couldn't simply be, again, on its own page and independent website using the same formatting and links to the same PayPal account that org is using. So in my mind, it would be nice to have it all in the one spot. I'm not sure how that answers your question in reference to the store. The other thing that we were talking is Mike had kind of talked about, gathering registration information, things like that. I looked at one other option as well, and I'm still kind of weighing this in my mind because, again, I'm sort of the computer guru here, and that was, hiring, like a Ticket Leap kind of company that this is going to handle all the registration and sort of get rid of the headache. But I kind of like headaches, and I feel like that... They don't take much on your ticket. They take a couple percentage points off of it, whatever they're selling. But in my mind, I'd rather just take it on myself. And I know Mike has a nice little database that he's used in the past for the festival. So I think between that and doing it on our own, I think we'll be okay. So I am looking to kind of keep it in-house, if you will.
So are you going to be the registrar then as well, Phil?
I think someone will be the registrar through me, but I definitely think that I'm going to be the person that's going to know who's coming here. The registration information, I know, Mike, we hadn't gone into detail about this, but I know you said you had some kind of database that was accepting that information, and we might use that again But yeah, I definitely think that the I think you had talked about actually doing the registrar stuff, so I think we might use your database in the process. I just haven't made that decision yet. I know you volunteered that.
Well, my only thought would be if you're planning to open registration in about 2.5 weeks, that would be something to close the loop on with however you plan to do it, so that if anyone else needs to be involved, they can get ready.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I don't think it's as big as a hoopla as it really actually is. I mean, ultimately speaking, 500 people is not that many people to put into a bit, to kind of handle registrations for, I mean, it's not only a lot of people, but data-wise.
Marilyn. Sorry about that, I got lost.
So.
Sure.
Yes.
So I'm confused about what you said. Let me see if I understand. You're planning to create a new web store at which people will register, not using the existing web store. Is that for sure what you're saying?
Right, we'll use, because the web, the current web store is created, using PayPal links to pay for this stuff. That same coding information can be put anywhere in the world. So it could certainly be put on the independent website as well.
You're gonna ignore the store entirely, as far as I can tell, right?
Well, ignore is a poor word. There's no reason not to have it in multiple places. So that's what I'm getting at, is that it's going to be available in many places. I want people to be able to put a link to pay for a festival package on their own local juggling club's website. And again, that's just PayPal code. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to.
It's not really, and I think you need to look at the store registration items and the way it works a little more in detail before you decide to do this.
I'm going to kind of cut you off there by saying, if you look out at eBay, you have thousands of independent stores that all have their own front and then eventually link to PayPal to handle processing and then come back. And that's an opportunity to consider all of those fronts as opportunities for local juggling websites to be able to advertise on their local juggling site festival packages and be able to kind of sell them as well. And kind of getting that process going through that and still being able to capture all the registration information from someone, what is registration information? It's their demographic and what they want, what kind of a la carte items they're choosing to make their package up if they don't just choose the package. And ultimately, that's what the information that you get is. We don't handle people's accommodations, their rooming and things like that, or their food allergies. So there's a lot less in reference to actual registration than we, it's not that, much information that we're actually getting from people.
You're not answering my question. Is somebody going to update the store to list, the 20 or 30 different possible registration aspects for this year, or are you going to do that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I thought I made, yes.
Please don't interrupt me. Are you going to do that on multiple sites? They all got to be logging to different places. It's not a PayPal site. It allows, for instance, payment by check or money order or PayPal. That's one of the mechanisms. We were working on a new plug-in for the store with the webmaster to use a credit card directly on the IJ store using basically PayPal. So it's not a trivial thing to set that up as far as I'm concerned. We've spent many hours setting up each year. So I'm not quite sure what your goal is. You can certainly have a link on somebody's website that links to the IJ store where people can register. I don't see why you need to duplicate the entire process of setting up registration on multiple places.
We're definitely going to have it. And to answer your question directly, yes, the store is going to be set up exactly as it's been set up in the past. And my goal is that, and I think you and I talked about the idea of one-click wonders. My goal is that someone can accomplish a task in one click. And that may not be possible, but, Amazon, tripled their sales because of their one-click checkout. That's a huge company that's doing billions of dollars in sales, and if they can do it, we can do it. So my goal to have the ability to have the easiest streamlined process is just another reason for someone to go, oh, it's easy to register. It's easy to sign up. If I don't know how to use a computer, and you mentioned this yourself, people don't have computers, then I can do this so easily even if I don't know how to use a computer. And that's my goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. So if that means I have to do extra work on my own to accomplish that, I want to do it because it means that I'm going to have someone else who normally wouldn't be able to do it, they're going to be able to do it. So that's where I'm going
with. You're going to have that ready in 2 weeks.
I'm amazing, what can I say?
So how?
I mean, and this is my expertise. You know, I perform, and you know, I'm not going after a doctorate just because I like computers. It's a passion of mine. I've been doing forever. So this is stuff that I can do, and I do all the time. So it's very familiar to me.
Can I ask a question? This is Holly.
Yeah, hi, Holly.
How is the registration information going to be accessible to other people like me, for example? Because when a PayPal transaction comes in, I have to then record that in QuickBooks, and I have to record it in a fair amount of detail. So without having access to something like the store, I won't know how to record that transaction.
Well, this is I kind of answer your question by posing a question. In order to get that information now, do you log into the store?
Yes.
Okay, so if you could get that information that just came to you directly where you didn't have to, you could avoid logging into the store, would that make it easier for you?
Well, I don't care how I get the information as long as it's accessible to me.
Right. So in my concept, that whoever needs to get the information will get a copy of it.
So I'll get a copy of an email copy or something of every
registration? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there'll be one stored somewhere, you know, hard so that, you know, if apparently your IJ email is down right now from what I heard in the beginning of this conversation. Obviously, email is not a reliable source. In my point of view, even when it comes to financial information and stuff, it'll certainly be accessible in an online format you can log into and get to. But yeah, you know, you'll be able to get copies, or whoever wants a copy can get a copy. You can send it out to whoever needs a copy. So my way is, if it's easiest for you to just have it appear, you know, if you're doing the QuickBooks on your own, you're kind of entering it directly, just manually entering this information each time it comes in. I want to make sure it's the easiest way for you, so you don't have to actually log in every time and click on the last sales or whatever, and then click on the person. I want you to be able to just get the information and have it available. So if that's the easiest way for you, then, yeah, definitely copies of emails are going to come across. And you can certainly, you know, cross-check that with the current account to make sure that you really did get every email or that kind of thing.
Phil, this is Marilyn again. I'm sorry I got cut off and had to dial back in. So if you answered my question, I apologize. But who do you have planned to handle all the registrations? Are you going to make packets in advance?
Right. So the actual on-site, like handing out registration stuff, is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Last year we made the packets in advance as the registrations came in. And Jerry Martin, who's the on-site registrar, was very happy with that.
Yeah, so
work for him to do.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'll be honest with you, that hasn't been on my high focus right now. So how the actual packages themselves are delivered to people, you know, I haven't gotten to that point yet. And, I don't have an answer for you yet.
If you had anyone in mind to process them, or you were just going to handle later.
Yeah, when I was reading through the surveys, a few people offered being able to do stuff off-site, and I might take advantage of people. But one thing that certainly comes to mind, all the conferences I've attended and the ones that I've held for Laughter Arts Foundation, and again, there's a cost associated with this, and I realize that is all the information is mailed to you ahead of time. So you don't arrive wondering. You don't arrive having to wait in a line. You don't arrive having to go through a table. So one possibility, of course, is to, and when I say mail, maybe mail doesn't mean paper mail. Maybe mail means actually sending festival information over email, or like a PDF document that contains all your stuff, your package, your whatever you have. That's one possibility.
That's what we did, Phil, but that all came out of the database.
Right.
Once
right.
We entered all their stuff into the database, we push a button and it sends them an email.
Right, exactly. Maybe that's probably where I have the idea from. And that's why I wanted to talk to you a little more about your database before I make the decision on how the registrars gets handled. But that my goal would be to do it in a way that when someone shows up, they just walk in because they already have their whatever lets them get in. I know, like last year was tags or whatever. you know, they don't have to actually go through a table, except for maybe, you know, maybe get a T-shirt, because I can imagine T-shirts would be a hard thing to send out. I'm not sure, and I apologize if I think that you guys are being condescending by assuming you didn't, but I feel like no one read the surveys, because, like, one of the things that a bunch of the surveys said is, we don't want a T-shirt. They said, I'd rather save, you know, if a T-shirt costs $10 or $7, I'd rather save $7 and get a T-shirt or have an opportunity to buy it later. And, you know, so that, you know, that's another thought process. I love T-shirts. I think it's a great idea to have a T-shirt available, and it's nice to have it part of the package, but a lot of people just don't care. So what I said in reference to, and the other reason I bring it up now is because if we're going to be mailing things out or sending packages out, if there's no T-shirts involved, then they really could just walk in and they get started right away and don't have to deal with anyone at the table. I'm not necessarily sure I like that idea per se. But I think there is, I always like to think outside the box, in the fact that we've done a T-shirt every festival. Maybe we're just doing it now because we've done one every festival. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to have one. And again, it's another cost-saving factor. And it's one of those things that I think that people just, hey, it's great if I get a T-shirt, but they don't care if they don't get one either. And I can't imagine the T-shirt costs were ever more than $5 or $6 a shirt. If they were, then we were paying way too much for printing. But so I'm not even sure what, you know, it's not necessarily the cost of the T-shirts, because, of course, they've been rolled into the festival package prices, but just the headache of getting T-shirts done. And whoever has to deal with that task, you know, it's just one less thing for people to worry about. That's kind of going off on another tangent, I suppose, but I just wanted to talk more about how people can get their registration stuff. So my goal, you know, like I said, I haven't thought about 100%, but my goal is that we would provide the registration stuff, like Mike said. I'm not sure if what are you using, Mike, for that?
We use FileMaker Pro.
Yeah, FileMaker Pro. Yeah, so that might be just the option again this time. So does that kind of quasi answer you, Marilyn? The honest answer is that I hadn't thought about it 100% yet. So.
Okay. I mean, we were just offering our services again as early registrars, and we weren't really planning on January.
Right. And again, you know, when someone actually gets a package versus when they can actually sign up for a festival, they don't necessarily have to be in coordination with each other.
Sure.
The other thing is that, you know, if you think about like Ticketmaster, or if you buy tickets for a show, usually your tickets don't, you know, they get mailed out a couple weeks before the show, because otherwise you're going to lose them. You know, so in my mind, just because you've signed up doesn't mean your package comes out right away. You know, more like it comes out closer to the thing, so you don't misplace it, lose it, or whatever. But again, you know, if it's electronic, clearly you can just have it available. The other thought just the little barcode scanners is another, you know, idea that I had. You know, these are little USB barcode scanners that are, you know, $39, $49. You know, you have four of them, and you have barcodes on every little tag, and everyone comes in, you know, with some scanning barcodes or whatever. Just some other ideas. You know, if we're saving money in one place, maybe it's cool to have something else that makes it quicker in another. Plus, you can get some data tracking from that, like who actually is attending these things in numbers and quick counts and things like that. So that was another thought process. So there's some other kind of smaller ideas that are certainly out there, but in my mind, my biggest concerns right now are who we're getting for this festival. What are people going to be drawn toward? Any other questions about that? So Kim, what's next on the bullet list there?
Control issues. That's your final item.
Oh yeah, control issues. So yeah, I guess I, after talking about all this stuff, I kind of wanted to sort of finalize it by sort of saying that I'm glad you guys chose me and everything. But one of the things that I think, and Kim may, you know, she's gotten a lot of emails on it as well, is that it seems like it's kind of been a bumpy start in reference to who's really saying what. And one of the things that really frustrates me is if you guys are asking me to make a bunch of choices and put on a great festival for you, but then in the background there's going to be all these people that are going to be changing things around, then I can tell you right now, I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. I understand that you guys, obviously, big item decisions, and it's money, and it's your board, and that stuff, and I realize that those decisions need to be made, but, like, I mean, you guys may or may not have been involved in all these emails between, like, Kim and myself and the hotel, but, like, one example is, you know, just the airfare. You know, if, you know, I'm a performer, so I always expect when I travel, of course, my airfare is always picked up, so it's just an assumption. You know, like I said, I'm working on a doctorate, and I presented two papers now at conferences, and because I was presenting a paper, they flew me in. So it's just an expected thing. We're giving this hotel at least $125,000 in sales, in room sales. That's a nice chunk of change. You know, hotels are closing, casinos are closing in Vegas because they're not making money. So this is a nice week for this hotel. When I first talked to the hotel, I was like, hey guys, this is where I'm flying out of. I'm flying out of BWI. I prefer to fly, you know, in the morning, and here's my time. And because the assumption was just that, you know, they're going to fly their client out for their first visit out there. And, you know, the hotel manager ended up contacting someone else that is not actually on the board. And they were like, well, we never pay for airfare as a part of the, the Jugglers Association will pay for airfare. It's not typical that the client would pick up airfare. And that's sort of like, well, at that point, I would sort of look like an ass talking to her saying that, you know, expecting them to pick up airfare. And there's been a few of those kind of bumps. It seems like people are just kind of going in and out. And if that's something you guys want to do, well, then that's great, and you need to find someone else who's willing to kind of deal with that. But I think that in order for the process to be smooth and you know, nice, then it needs to just happen from one person. And again, I think Kim has sort of assured that as of right now, and I trust her because she was sort of kind of blindsided by some of these things as well.
And I tried to make it very clear. I think I copied you on my last email to the hotel.
Yeah.
That you are our fest director and you are our line of communication, that you will be reporting to the board, that they don't have to CC me on emails. And
right.
So hopefully that has taken that concern away.
Yeah, I think it will. I just wanted to kind of voice it as well. You know, it's just because one thing that, you know, again, and I will continue to reiterate that I couldn't tell you a thing about IJA politics because that never interests me. I love performing, and that's what I'm here for. And I love renegade shows. That's what I like to do. You know, so when it comes, you know, people talking about all these different things, and as I'm talking to vendors, you know, the vendors, they're into politics. They're trying to go, well, you know, when this person was here and this person was there, I'm like, I don't know these people. I mean, I know who they are. I just don't know what their roles were and who hated them for what. But one of the biggest things we have is if we have our own board going against each other and talking and starting rumors on the side, it just makes us all look like an asshole. And that's the bottom line, you know. And I know Martin was like, you got to post something on the forums, you got to post something, you got to say hi. And what I was afraid of is that if I started posting stuff about things that I'm telling you guys tonight, I would have already started a whole, you know how things get out of control on forums and stuff, you know, a whole art, you know, I don't want that big thing to happen before you even introduce yourself to the whole board. And that's just, unfortunately, I think in our society, that's what happens nowadays. People just, when they get that electronic word, it's so much easier to write things down than to say it in person to someone. And we just don't need that as an organization. We certainly don't need all the bickering back and forth and all those things. It just makes us all look like asses. And that's what our customer, I mean, the members, think, is that, oh, my God, here's this festival who's just, you know, or here's this organization that's just, you know, killing themselves because they're all bickering at each other. And I want a festival where people just come in to have fun. They're coming to juggle because that's what they love to do, and that's what I want them to think. I want them to think all about how cool the festival is because it's their passion and that's why they're out there. You know, the surveys that I read, everyone, you know, a big majority of the surveys said the reason they attend the festival is because that's their summer vacation. And damn right, we need to make this thing their summer vacation. This needs to be the best summer vacation that they're going to have. And I feel really proud knowing that these people coming to us and trusting us with a week of their summer vacation time. You know, if these people can't get off any other time from their jobs or they don't make that much money, you know, they're trusting us to make sure their summer vacation is awesome. And so that's sort of our job, to make sure that we make sure they have a really good time. And that's what I'm all about. So I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be an awesome festival. I think it's, you know, definitely going to be something that people are going to go, oh, yeah, I got to be there. I want to be there. You need to be there, too. I know you don't go. You need to be there as well. Which kind of brings me to my last point. I thought this would be the most controversial point, so I left at the last moment. And that was, and I'm going to lead into it by saying, we are the International Jugglers Association. You know, Each year we've seen in the last few years, we've had more and more international people show up, which is great. You know, they come out there. We've seen a bigger, you know, not just U.S. people, but people from all over are coming out, and that's wonderful. And we've started to see, you know, I think last time we were in Reno, we had the flare jugglers, you know, so that was fun. It was a little bit different. It was juggling, but, you know, it was something a little bit different. You know, the unicyclers are going to be there the week before. You know, unicycling, juggling, that sort of goes together. And my goal is just to really expand the festival to whoever wants to come to the festival, come to the festival. If you're a magician, you don't really juggle, well, there's no reason you can't come to our festival. You should definitely want to come to our festival and attend. You know, you bring a little bit of whatever. And, of course, there's been workshops in the past at the festival, like little simple magic tricks or something like that. If you're a clown or if you're a fire person for Burning Man the week after, you know, and that's what you want to come out there for because you spin batons or something. You know, definitely make it well-rounded, and that's certainly something I'm looking forward to. And let's be honest, the bottom line is, if you're a magician and you're going to pay me $259 or $229 for a festival package, that's $229, and money doesn't have a certain profession on it. You know, money from a juggler or from a magician or from some guy who works at Burger King is all the same money. And you know, if we can attract more clients that are going to be interested in coming to a juggling festival and bring a little bit of a flair to it, then that's wonderful. That's what I want. So that's what I'm looking to have.
That was the most controversial thing you had to say?
I'm sorry?
That was the most controversial item on your list?
No, the controversial item comes from, brace yourself. I don't want to make being an IJA member a requirement to attend the festival. No one that holds a local juggling festival in the area made it a requirement to be a member of the local juggling club. I'm not sure why we as the big organization need to make it a requirement to be a member. And now I say that, and here's a caveat to that. I think there's a few different ways you can look at that concept. So that's the concept, that you don't need to be a member of the IJA to attend the IJA festival. Now, again, there's a few ways to look at it. You can look at it that you don't actually have to be a member to attend the festival. Or, by paying the same price to attend, you get a membership to the IJA. Or, the other way to look at it is, IJA members finally get a discount for being an IJA member by attending the festival. If you're already an IJA member, it's no longer $179, it's now $159. You know, it's $20 off or whatever. You know, somehow to make it, and that's one, in my mind, that was kind of the one I liked the most, was it makes an IJA member feel like they're getting something for being an IJA member. They get a magazine, but really, that's how much a magazine subscription costs these days. You know, you buy a magazine subscription to a specialty magazine, that's what you're paying for, basically, in the membership. So, now, by being an IJA member, you get a discounted price in the festival package. You know, so that's another way of looking at the concept, that anyone can still attend, but if you're a member, you now get a discounted price. And the reason I'm going there is because the concept, the mental block of you have to be a member to attend is a block for people to come. The membership price could be $5. But when you say something, you have to be a member to attend, they might just go ahead and write it off right there and not even consider what the actual attendance or the price is to become a member. And if we really want to be, you know, this gigantic festival where we have a lot of people come in, then we need to just invite people into our world and give them a reason to want to join. Give them a reason to want to come and say, oh my God, this is awesome. I want to be a part of this. I want to hear about it next year early, like everyone else who was a member about it. You know, I don't want to just have to hear from my friend the day before, and that's why I came. I want to know about it. That's why I want to become a member. I want to be a part of this organization. I want to be a part of this group. So I would really like the idea that someone has to be a member to attend the festival to not be a concept, to be something they don't even think about. Our marketing goes to the members. That's who it goes to. And then they spread it to their juggling groups, who may or may not be members. But if you say to a 21-year-old or an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old in the juggling group, hey, you got to be a member, the 16-year-old, $30 may be a big deal. Maybe not nowadays, I don't know, but it could still be a big deal. And that's just a reason for them not to attend. But if you say, hey, you don't have to be a member, you can still come to the school festival, well, now it may be a reason for mom and dad to come out with, you know, the 16-year-old and take them to the festival or whatever. I mean, that's just one example. Maybe it's not a good one, but it's an example. So that's my item, and that's something I would like to see definitely change. Is that in order to attend the festival, You don't have to be a member. But if you are a member, it's now this much less or whatever. And I'm happy to change the pricing so that it's now, you know, I don't know, I think the price, as I said earlier, again, was the the $169 and $229. You know, let's make it $179, let's make it $189 and $259 for non-members, you know. So the prices still stay the same for people who are members. So they really do feel like because they're a member, they are getting a discount to this festival. And they feel like their membership is worth more than just a magazine. And, you know, so that's what I wanted to throw out there, sort of as that last item.
Sounds something like to put on the Board Plus forum and let us formulate, you know, opinions and responses, and we can all kind of chime in and then eventually make a motion to do that.
Okay. And I'd love to do that, and maybe I'll go ahead and do that. And my only request would be that we sort of make a yay or nay by the end of the, you know, the end of the year. Because, again, I think it's, you know, because I want to expand this to people, like Kim said, why is that controversial? Well, again, a magician, you know, they're already paying for their own, you know, International Brotherhood of Magicians dues or whatever. They don't have to pay for another one. But maybe this is a reason for them to now come because they can come just to come. So I really do think that you are going to capture more people to come to a festival if they don't have to be a member to be, you know, able to attend.
That was actually Holly that spoke before, Phil. This is Kim now. But I don't think this is as controversial as you might think, because this idea has come up in the past since I've been on the board. It's just we haven't gone through with it. So, you know,
but
maybe now is the time.
Yeah, I just definitely think that, you know, I remember a conversation I was having with Martin a couple weeks ago. You know, and he said to me, he says, well, you know, people are spending $1,000 to get out there, $500 in hotel, $500 on flight. You know, what's saving $30? Nowadays, saving $30 is a big deal. You know, people, just conceptually, if you can save $30 and you're spending $1,000 to come out here, you're still saving $30. They don't care if they spend $1,000 to come out. They were already expecting to spend $1,000 to come out. That's just a given. But the package price of the festival, well, that could be flexible. That can change, or if you have to be a member, that can change. And I think that does make a difference to someone. You know, on a numbers table, if you're just looking at a computer and a spreadsheet, no, that doesn't make a difference. But in someone's mind, that makes a difference. You know, that's why people pay 10 cents less for a Food Lion brand than buying Campbell's soup or whatever. I'm not sure where you guys are from. But, you know, that's why people do it in grocery stores, you know, because 10 cents makes a difference. That's why prices are $200 or $199, not $200. Someone will pay $199 1,000 times versus paying once $200, you know, because $199 is so much better than $200. Well, no, it's a dollar less. But in someone's mind, $199 is so much of a difference.
Are you now able to get onto the board forum or the board plus forum?
Yeah, I could always get on the board plus. I didn't know what I was supposed to be able to get onto. It was my confusion.
That's okay. Just wanted to make sure you were able to get on where you needed to.
Yeah, I'm good to go there. So I definitely post it there, but it's definitely something that I think that in order to grab more people, and again, we all know we're seeing a decline in the numbers. We're definitely seeing a decline in the numbers. If we want to make money, and that's what I mean, let's be honest, it is a business, you know, a nonprofit or not, you got to make money. If it's one more person to spend whatever that festival package price is, that's just one more person we got there spending money. And we're not just, you know, again, these are people that are interested in performing, in the juggling arts, and in something like that. You know, these are people that are, you know, have a vested interest in somewhere in the entertainment kind of stuff that we do, you know, the juggling and that kind of thing.
No. One question I do have for you, Philip, will you be able to work with Holly and Kevin to kind of put together your budget that you're looking at so that the board can look at it and approve it at our January meeting?
Yeah, definitely. That was something I wasn't aware of. I remember I asked you if the budget had been approved or not. Holly had sent me that copy of the proposed budget. I didn't know how much input I was kind of given to have in that.
Well, you're the fest director.
Well, I know. I wasn't sure. And I have my own budget that I can certainly send to you and kind of go from there. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I think like most budgets, you look at the year before and you kind of take some ideas and you shave things here and there. So I'm sure it'll look and resemble something like last year's budget. But I'll definitely put it together.
Fantastic.
So any other questions?
I just want to say thank you so much. I know we had you talking for a long time here, but you made up a lot of ground in a little bit of time.
Yeah, well, I'm like I said,
working hard,
and I got a few people behind me that are really well connected, that are very talented people that are helping me out as well. So it's not all me, but certainly some people out there, especially with Keith and everything. So, but thank you, and I hope that obviously you guys have my email address. You certainly contact me or call me with any questions you have.
All right. You're welcome to stay on for the rest of the call if you want, or, if you need to leave, that's fine, too.
I'll probably check out. I've had, like, 7 missed calls in the time I've been talking.
Okay. All righty. All right. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Night, Phil.
Night.
Mike, do you have anything on future festivals?
Just that all the contracts have been signed for Winston-Salem and Rochester through 2014, so we're done.
And I do want to make it clear to everyone on the board, every single one of those contracts, we have with the first one for Rochester, Minnesota, we have until the end of August of 2011 to back out of that. So if we don't like the fest in 2011, we can say, nope, we don't want to come back and we don't owe a thing. All of the contracts were written like that. We're up to, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, up to a year prior to the fest we can back out, or is it 2 years?
For Winston-Salem, it's 1 year after the 2012 festival. And for Rochester, it is, as you said, we can walk away from our signed agreement with Rochester for 2013 anytime before August 31st, 2011. So that'll be about 5 or 6 weeks after the 2011 festival, and we will know by then, I would say, for sure, if there's any showstoppers that would make us want to not come back in 2013. So, yes, we have a 2-year escape clause on all of the out cities. The only festival that we are locked in on at this point is, of course, 2010 Sparks and 2011 Rochester, because we're under 2 years on both of those.
Right. Okay, thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike?
Sounds solid. Sounds real good.
The contracts looked good, too, I must say that.
Yeah, the contracts are good. Rochester is more favorable than Winston-Salem, but we know that we can be successful in Winston-Salem. Both cities are thrilled out of their minds that we are coming back 2 years in a row, basically. And they are going to bend over backwards to make sure we're happy both times.
Yeah, I already received a phone call from Winston-Salem, all excited that they received their contracts.
Yeah. So thanks for your help with that, Kim, and for everybody else that helped out. Kevin, for doing the site visit up in Rochester, and everybody else that pitched in.
Thank you, Mike. You did the hard part.
Well, it's pretty easy recommending Rochester, I'll tell you that.
Anything on site? Oh, go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
The site visit was hardly work. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Kevin, Holly, anything financial-wise?
Well, we have a
2010 budget.
Yes, we have 2 copies of the 2010 budget. They're on the board forums. I tried emailing them out, but who knows how well that worked. One has the current membership amounts, and the other one has the potential membership amounts that we'll be voting on today, so we'll just pick the appropriate budget when we get there. And Holly, do you have current numbers on the fundraiser?
Just shy of $10,000. I think we're a couple $100 shy of $10,000. We got a nice $500 donation a few days ago, and that's the last one I got, so that's where that stands. There is one math error in the revised budget with the higher membership prices, just FYI.
What is that error?
The adult memberships, assuming 1,000 members at $40, is not $41,000.
Cool. All right, so we'll keep that in mind as we look at it a little later.
Okay.
Anything for the store, Kevin?
IJA DVD for 2009 is ready to be posted. When can those ship out?
Like Steph will be getting them this weekend. So anytime after this weekend, they'll be ready to ship out of the store itself.
What's the retail price going to be on those for non-members?
Same price as last year?
Yeah.
Was that 40?
I was going to say I thought it was 40.
I think that's correct, but let me double check. And I'll get a note to Don Lewis for the e-newsletter, as well as post something on Facebook and Twitter about it.
Okay, great.
We're also looking...
Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
So $40 is non-member price, and I think $30 is member price. And then we're also looking at putting older back issues up on the store as well. Right now it only has the past few years.
Okay.
You mean the ones with the copyright issues? You're going to put those back up?
No, sorry, the back issues of the magazine.
Oh, okay.
Not the videos.
Gotcha.
Okay, anything else on store? Okay, if not, the membership numbers.
Let's see what I sent you. We have 1,768 members. Holton Steady on lifetime at 288. 80 youth, 229 families, and actually that's up a bit. So we've had a few new members come in.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah. Look forward to the membership drive to see how that's going to work. Assuming that gets approved.
Yeah. If it gets approved and we're ready to roll, then hopefully that'll bring even more in by our next, well, not maybe not our next meeting, but February 6th. Okay, anything for membership? Anything else?
Just two quick questions. Marilyn, how many life members did you say we have?
288.
288, and that total figure of 1,758 includes the youth, family, and life members?
Right.
Okay.
There's 1,433 records, or so magazines, I guess you'd call them.
Okay.
But 1,758 individuals.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else for Marilyn? Okay, if not, let's move this along. Video, Ken is still not here, I take it. So just as an update, the replicator, I just talked to the replicator today. Our project is on schedule, so that pre-order DVDs will be sent out through first-class mail on Friday, December 18th. And the rest of them I am picking up so that because Steph Gardner's coming up here to Pennsylvania anyway, so I'm just going to hand exchange them with her rather than the IJA having to pay shipment on them. Cool. Any question concerning the video? Okay, education. Kevin, anything? We haven't had a chance to get together. I'm sorry that you're hard to understand.
No update.
Okay, thank you. Tom, marketing, promotions.
Yeah, I guess I don't have too much to talk about, especially since the YouTube thing is being tabled. I guess the report on the, what little there is to report about the Black Friday thing that we had, Sportco only had one sale, that was associated with that. That was on the day of, so they were taking advantage of the promotion. But she did not actually advertise it on her website, and she didn't send emails out to anybody or anything. It was just that's completely riding on what we had said about her participating in this program, and she's going to change that next time. I guess her next time is in April. Brana Sportsballs only had one sale on the day of the thing, but he had three sales that were a direct result of the advertising of the e-newsletter, which I thought was pretty encouraging, just to see that that works. And Flying Clipper, I believe, had three sales, so I never got an actual final word from him. That didn't end until, I guess it doesn't end until midnight tonight for him. So my next step with this is, you know, I'm going to write up a nice note to a bunch of different fringe people, you know, like hoop companies and kendama companies and people like that, sort of mentioning that, you know, this, especially with Brontosaurus Ball's fam, the fact that just the advertising alone brought people there, and they didn't necessarily even, you know, come as a part of, or rather, sorry, I'm having a hard time talking, they didn't necessarily come just because of the discount itself. They came just because of the ad, so they didn't, you know, lose any money through actually offering the discount.
Right.
So I think that's kind of cool. And I'm going to be approaching more people sort of in the fringe arts instead of just straight-up juggling companies. There is a lot of resentment that I have encountered, you know, with, like, Higgins Brothers and people like that towards the IJA. So I think they might be sort of a lost cause, and they don't necessarily need to increase their market, you know, in the juggling world, because they, you know, a lot of jugglers already know who they are. So.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more or less that. Yeah.
Okie doke. All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's move on to our motions, if there's nothing else that we have to report. The first motion, and this is just an idea being thrown out there, please, but it is something that we are going to have to discuss and talk about. Motion to raise annual member dues to $40 for adult membership, new or renewal, $31 for youth membership, new or renewal, and $8 for additional family member. Do we have somebody to make the motion so that we can discuss this?
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second? Did we have a second? I didn't hear.
I'll second. Kevin Macbeth.
Okay. Now we can enter into discussion on this. Raising dues is something we talked about that, you know, we do have to do again. We talked about it during the magazine contract. But what do all the rest of you think?
I don't think $40 is much at all. I'm for it.
The only thing that this motion does not have on it is a month, a date when the new rate would go into effect.
That was my question.
So we would need to figure that out if everyone else is okay with raising the dues.
So we need to move to amend the motion to include a date that it would begin?
That is true, yes.
Is anyone opposed to that? Are we all in favor here?
This is Richard. I'm for the increase.
Tom, what do you think?
I mean, just given what I've heard, I think it doesn't sound like there's much way around it. And $40 isn't that much of an increase. So I guess I'm in favor of it, all things considered.
Kevin Macbeth?
I'm in favor, particularly since we're looking at potentially lower early registration test prices.
What, Kevin, what do you think is the best date to put that into, to enact that?
When's the membership drive run?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When is the, yeah.
Beginning date would be February 14th, running through June 15th.
I almost lean towards increasing them after that.
Mm. That seems reasonable.
And then we can push that as a good reason to go ahead and join now.
Yeah. That's a good reason.
Well, it's not going to do much to move the needle on budget this year, though.
Right.
But you're only looking to get 250 new members.
Anthony, what's your thoughts?
How about considering raising it on January 1st and making it even with the new year?
I just wasn't sure if January 1st would be fair, only because we haven't notified the membership if we are doing this.
February 1st.
February 1st I could deal with. I just think January 1st is kind of not giving people a chance to get on before the rate change.
Right. Well, Martin just sent out the reminder emails, and he could follow that up with, hey, guys, the rate's increasing. Join them now.
Okay.
Yeah, well, if you went with February 1st, you could put that information in two more newsletters, the December and the January newsletter.
Okay.
Right.
Anthony, yeah. Any thoughts?
I mean, if it was up to me, it would go up higher, but so I'm okay with this.
Okay. I'm just afraid of going too high because I don't want to see us raise it a whole lot and then lose members because they just don't want to pay an extra couple bucks. We raised it last year by $5 or so, and we had talked about continuing that until we kind of break even.
Mm-hmm. The part that surprises me is the increase on the family. I've never really seen that the family members get any benefit of any kind, so I don't know why we would increase that other than just to generate more money. They won't see any better, anything out of it. In a family of five people, that'd be $40 more.
Well, I'm fine with leaving additional family members at five, if everyone else is.
That's probably the way to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So
start February 1st, and also to remain at five for additional family members. Is there anything else?
I believe that's it.
All right, so would I move then right now to do that? Is that the proper move
yep.
to amend?
All yes,
right, well,
sir.
I move to amend motion A to include the start date as February 1st, 2010, and also to leave the additional family members at five instead of the suggested eight.
Okay, so let me read back the motion. It would be a motion to raise annual membership dues to $40 for adult membership, new or renewal, $31 for youth membership, new or renewal, $5 for additional family member to begin February 1st, 2010. Is that right, Kevin?
That is correct.
Okay, Kevin McBeth, do you still second that?
I do.
Do we have any further discussion? If not, let's go to a vote. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? This motion passes by unanimous consent. All right, guys. Thanks for making the tough decisions. motion to approve the 2010 festival budget. We do need to motion and second, and then we can table this until further, until the budget actually comes through from Philip. So do we have someone to make this motion? Okay, without hearing a motion, we can just take it right out of the agenda. The motion dies. Okay, moving on to item C. Motion to approve the operating budget for 2010. It was tabled at the November meeting to wait for it to include the new contract numbers.
I'll make that motion, Kevin McGrath.
Okay. Do we have a second, please?
Second, Kevin A.
Okay. Discussion.
A new copy of the budget with the recently approved membership increases is on the forum, and we'll be going out to the board email in about 15 seconds.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to look at it, it's out there.
I was going to say, is everyone on their computers?
Kevin, can you copy me as well so I don't get board email?
Will do. It also includes the correction of the typo.
Okay.
Or matho.
And the change to $5 instead of $8?
Yep.
Great.
Is this version 3 that you have?
3.2 is the one you want. It'll be the last one in the forum post or the one sent out by email about 15 seconds ago.
Okay. Has everyone received it yet?
I haven't received it yet, but I'm assuming with no other changes, it results in a net loss in the general fund of $29,000 roughly.
Yeah, $29,661.
Right. And then on video, a loss of $3,675. On the archive fund, a loss of $1,100. And on the life membership fund, a net income of $1,200. Although, frankly, I think that's optimistic because the interest rates have gone down so low that I'm not really earning that much. So that's where it stands.
Yep.
Okay. Any comments or discussion?
Nope.
Somebody say something? It's still a grim picture, but I guess a lot of that hinges on the fest as well, right?
Yep, and keep in mind that it also includes $0 for any donation. So if we get anything from that, that's a positive step.
Okay. So that means we need to do the fundraiser again next fall.
Well, we also don't want to burn those bridges there by asking
right.
too often. But it might be interesting to see if there's a way we can set up for recurring donations in case people want to make a regular donation to us.
Okay, are we ready to vote on this?
Yes.
Okay, let's vote. Is there anyone opposed to approve the operating budget for 2010? Any abstentions? The operating budget for 2010 is approved. Item D, motion to approve 2010 membership drive is outlined in Attachment A. Someone to make the motion, please.
I move to approve the 2010 membership drive as outlined in Attachment A. Kevin A.
Okay. Second, please.
I'll second it. Richard.
Okay. Any discussion?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I agree. We need to try something. Okay, let's go to the vote. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? It passes by unanimous consent. Item E, motion to approve the YouTube contest is outlined in Attachment B. Even to table this, we need a motion and a second.
I'll move for that. This is Tom.
Okay, Tom, a second, please.
I'll second. Kevin Macbeth.
Okay. And are we going to do as Phil had suggested and kind of put this aside for a little while and come up with, Tom, maybe you can coordinate a different start end date? And
yeah.
We would be able to approve it then at the January meeting.
That sounds good. I'll send Phil an email about that.
Okay. So, Tom, are you willing to make the motion to table this?
Absolutely. I'll move to table that right now.
Okay. And Kevin Macbeth, you second the tabling?
I will second that.
Okay. That motion is tabled. The motion to approve the Awards Committee recommendations for the 2010 IJA Awards. Historical achievement going to...
Point of order.
Yes?
It is vote.
Excuse me?
Table. It didn't take a vote.
Oh, I am sorry. Thank you very much. Anyone opposed to tabling that motion for the YouTube contest? Any abstentions? The YouTube contest is tabled. Thank you, Martin. Item F, motion to approve the Awards Committee recommendations for the 2010 IJA Awards. Historical achievement to Nino Frediani. Award of Excellence to Tuan Lee. Bobby May Award to Paul Bachman. I'm embarrassed to say Extraordinary Service Award to Kim Laird. And there has been a recommendation for an honorary life membership that I have shared with the board. Bob Newman asked that some things they kept between the board on this because of the sensitivity of the name that's been brought up. We need a motion for these, please, and then we can discuss the honorary membership as well.
I'll make that motion. This is Richard.
Okay. A second, please.
Second, Kevin A.
Okay.
All right, then, Kim, I have a question, Kim.
Sure, go ahead.
So, as a board, we can pick these apart and not approve some of them and approve some of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of the reason why why it's brought to the board.
I got you.
Especially in the case of an honorary life membership where,
right.
You know, it is costing us money. They all cost us money. But I did send out to the board earlier today some background on all of these people, and Bob Newman had sent me the write-up on why my name is there. So, discussion.
Well, this is Richard. I will say that I agree with all the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the honorary one I do think needs some discussion. On the surface, I'm against it.
Okay.
I think the bar has to be really high for that one because it does cost us money.
Well, as I put in the email to the board, the honorary life membership is supposed to go to someone who has given extraordinarily a lot, more than a lot, to the IJA. And I don't mean given as far as monetarily or that. It's time, it's effort, whatever. This particular person whose name was recommended has done things for juggling, however, is not presently an IJA member, hasn't been for a few years now, and from what Bob Newman told me, does not even juggle anymore. And I love this person because I know him personally, but I'm just not sure that it warrants a life membership. The first three people I am fine with, I'm not commenting about the service award at all.
So this is Kevin McGrath. I'm a little bit hesitant to vote on this until I get a copy of the reasoning behind everything.
Okay.
Just so I can stand up and say that I felt it was a good idea to vote for or against it.
That's fine. We can table this one also until January's meeting.
Can we approve the first floor and table the last one?
We can also do that as long as Richard is willing to amend his motion.
I'm willing to amend it, but based on what Kevin just said, I think we should probably table the whole thing so everybody can read. If you don't know who Nino is, you need to read that. And so I think if we can wait till January, that's not a problem.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so we need a motion to table, please.
I'll make a motion. Go ahead.
Richard made the motion.
I'll make the motion to table the motion until January.
Okay, and we need a second, please. Kevin Axel?
Yep.
Okay. So we need a vote now. Is there anyone opposed to tabling this item until January? Any abstentions? This is tabled until January. Okay. Under Varia, I just want to keep this very quick. I just want everyone to know Juggle Magazine contract was signed by Alan Howard and myself, the full contract. Minus the signatures because of, you know, the security reasons, is on the website already, so everyone can take a look at that. It's under the contract section in the business area. Also, Kevin McBeth and I have talked about this a little bit through email, but we need to start discussing plans for the 2011 festival director. I'm going to post this on the board and Board Plus forum. But I'm kind of giving you a heads up so that everybody participates in this discussion. Do we want a festival director or do we want to move toward a general manager model? Because that has been discussed with previous boards. General manager, you know, would be in charge of a little bit more than just the fest, a lot more than just the fest. After deciding on that question, we have to talk about what we'll offer as compensation. Do we want to follow a similar calculator that was used to establish this year's fest director's compensation? Do some of you have other ideas of a direction we need to go? I don't want whoever is chairman of the board next year and even on the board next year to go through what we had to go through with trying to rush to find a festival director. So I want us to start discussing this now, if that's okay with everyone. Okay? And I'll post that, as I said, on the board and Board Plus forum so we can talk about it more. All right, any other Varia?
Hey, Kim, I don't know if this is proper, but my phone died during Philip's talk.
Oh, okay.
And I'll send this to him and I'll post it on the board. Something you said... you know, I don't think most jugglers knew who Get the Shoe was, but I think that's probably the most impactful response to a group we've ever had. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for these celebrity. I'm one of the people that pushed this celebrity idea. But at the same time, I hope we're going to get a juggler, you know, international juggler or a female juggler or both, that's a juggler.
Right.
And also, the people he listed, I love them all, Dan and Barry and... but they're all people that have been at the fest before. I think there's a lot to be said for bringing somebody from Germany or Poland that we don't know, but we do know by reputation as a great, great juggler, innovative juggler. And that's really, I think, one of the things that people take away from the festival. The regular suspects, usual suspects, are all beloved and wonderful to have there, but I do think we need to make sure there's a juggler there. that's what I'm saying.
I agree, and Philip and I have actually talked about Get the Shoe, and I don't know where he is with that or anything.
Well, I gave Keith a lot of great suggestions, and they're not great suggestions, these are my suggestions, but they're great jugglers and yeah. Important jugglers out there that a lot of us don't know about per se. I mean, I love Bill Irwin. I didn't get the chance to say that. I worship Bill Irwin. I'm not sure he'll bring one person to the festival. Right. They'll be delighted once they're there and see him, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure he's going to bring jugglers to the festival.
And I also was told by Bob Newman that according to the awards committee, our first three award recommendations, Frediani, Lee, and Bachman, will most likely be able to attend the fest.
Oh, that's good.
And will most likely be willing to perform.
Oh, that's great. That's great information right there.
That's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't say that earlier, but we still need to look at their qualifications as well. So.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else for Varia? If not, we need to pick the date for our next meeting. Third Wednesday in January would put us January 20th. Is that okay for everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yes.
Anthony?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. January 20th, 2010.
Yeah.
At, yeah. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there anything else? If not, we need a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Kevin. We need a second, please.
I'll second.
Okay. For 1 minute, I thought no one wanted to leave the meeting. That would be good. The meeting is officially adjourned at 10:26 p.m. We'll talk to you all later. Thank you all much.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Same to you all. Bye.
Bye.